carrefour des arts. À la redécouverte du théâtre musical. Une émission proposée par Christophe Mirambeau sur Canal Académie.
Transcendence, transcendence, transcendence. There's no more sense of transcendence now in this world.
C'était au début de ce mois de novembre 2008. Le compositeur Steve Neave nous a fait le plaisir de nous recevoir dans sa loge entre deux répétitions de la création scénique mondiale du spectacle musical dont il est l'auteur, sur un livret et une mise en scène de Muriel Théodori, une pièce musicale intitulée « Welcome to the Voice ». Cet ouvrage contemporain, ce « Welcome », est l'exemple d'un opéra qui offre une rencontre entre les voix mythiques du rock, celles de Sting et d'Elvis Costello, et de jeunes chanteurs lyriques comme Sylvia Schwartz, Marianne Todorovitch ou Anna Gabler. L'ouvrage a vu sa création discographique il y a un an seulement pour la firme Deutsche Grammophon avec Sting et Elvis Costello.
Oh, sois le moi dernier, je marchais puissé. Par ces heures, par ces jours, mes perdus. Qu'on savoir arriva on la roue, la voix d'on est devant, chanter de l'opéra, que voilà. Et tous les ont tremblé, moi j'étais paralysé longtemps. Je l'ai attendu et dès que je l'ai vu, je sais que c'était elle, toute dédieuse et si belle, impossible et vaine et réelle, là devant moi, diva de l'opéra. For now it's in my heart, my blood, the music of love.
And now let's go to Ivry, at the Manufacture des œillets, the rehearsal room of the Theatre of the Châtelet, to meet Mr. Steve Neave. Mr. Neave.
Yes.
Hello, and first...
Hello,
thanks,
thank you.
And thank you to you for Canal Academy.
Yes, and thank you for speaking in English.
Oh, yes.
Really useful. Merci.
My first question will be a non-musical one.
Okay.
Is Welcome to the Voice is the accomplishment, the result of a love story between you and Muriel Théodori, your wife, who wrote and directs the play?
Yes, I would say so. When we first met... We were working on a show that had theatrical elements in it, and she was responsible for those elements. We were working with an artist called Alan Chamfort on a show that he did at the Bouffe du Nord, which was just for two pianos, and he asked me to come over to do it, and that's how I met her. And after we did it, I enjoyed that experience so much, I wanted to go on and do something in that same world, because it was a world completely new to me. And so I wrote to her and I sent her some themes, and that's how our story began, which was more a story of love than a story of creating Welcome to the Voice, but the two things were wrapped up together.
It's a work in progress, it's like the life.
I think so, because a lot of the basic skeleton of the idea is very has sort of poignant meeting with my life, because I don't really come from a very cultured background. I don't know a lot about this kind of world, and so that's a bit like the character began, who's Dionysos. But in fact, as the piece developed, things changed, and now the piece is very different from how it began. But I think the process of working on something like a large piece like that over a period of time, that's what's interesting about it, how it actually evolves. And the evolution of all the characters inside the piece has been, they've evolved. They started off as one thing, and gradually they became more and more precise. In a way, at the beginning they were sort of shadowy figures, but now they're very clear in our minds, you know.
I noticed that the subtitle of the play is not opera, but work.
Yes.
Can you explain?
Well, to begin with, the word opera is an interesting word. It's when you drive down the freeway in Italy, you see opera all the time because it's just the roadworks. And it's work, you know, and that's what it is. And in a way, we are... I think when we recorded the album, we invited opera singers to come into our world because we were in control of the situation, and it was a situation that we are kind of more... Let's say we invent more things with our techniques of recording than, I suppose, traditional classical opera productions. That's not to say that they do clever things, but we play with the technology and things like that, which they're not really, except in modern works, they don't do so much. But now that we're on stage with Welcome to the Voice, it's sort of the opposite way. It's like we are now entering into their world because obviously this is more what they do. And so it's interesting. It's like finally the thing has come round, and this stage of the work is very interesting to me because the way that opera has evolved, it's become more and more precise as an art form. And there's a lot of tradition inside that, inside the way they do things, which obviously is very new to me. And it's exciting, and a lot of it is very practical, and it's obviously been that way because that's the best way. But there are other things which you think, why is it like that? If we were in control of this a bit more, it wouldn't be like that. For example, we can now make recordings of things and use those recordings. So sometimes we wonder, why can't we record... the things we need to record to rehearse with the recording one, because we can't have, you can't always have the orchestra with you. Traditionally, we have a fantastic pianist who has learned to play all the orchestra parts. It's really amazing how he does it. And so we rehearse like that. That's the way traditionally people did this sort of thing. But the picture that you get is very different from what the final result will be. So I don't know. Sometimes things are the tradition is great, and other times you think, why couldn't we do this slightly differently? And we are doing things slightly differently, so it's good.
Je suis pas chaud,
I've always been interested in writing music to a dialogue or story, or you know, whether it's a song or music for a film or even, you know. And so yeah, this is very exciting for me, and it's very exciting for me, and I have a number of pieces that I'm working on at the moment that follow on from this, and I hope to go on in this kind of work, because I think Welcome to the Voice is a big discovery for me, and having discovered certain things, you know, the next one is, I'm just dying to get on with the next one.
Your score is a very written one, with a lot of references on music and musicians of the past, especially opera and opera composers, which you use the special tricks like orchestral batteries and arpeggios from bel canto repertory, very French colors for the Carmen episode. We feel you very respectful of this music and, at the same time, absolutely free with that references and reminiscences.
Well, I think when I first started working on this with Muriel, a lot of those things, not Carmen, because I'd heard of that when I was a kid, but Norma, I didn't know about that, and she played me lots of music, and when you first hear something and it's inspiring you, your reactions are just coming like that. You're not really, your consciousness is there, but you're propelled along by the new discovering and things like that. And so everything about Muriel's story was also directing me in a certain way, because the whole story is about a guy who's fallen in love with opera, and so this had to be respected in order for us to work together. And so the idea that she had, that the ghosts of Carmen and Butterfly come to this guy who's a steel worker, and he begins to see hallucinations, and they want him to kill himself so that he can become an opera ghost like them. Everything of the story was pushing me in a certain direction. So it was the libretto that Muriel wrote was extremely helpful and useful in this thing. You know, it pushed me in that way. And part of the challenge of the piece is the fact that, there are these operatic women singers singing with people like Sting and Elvis, whose technique is fantastic but so different. And part of the technical problem of the piece is, how do we combine those two types of voices? And it's an interesting... it's just interesting physically how that's going to work, but it's through the rehearsals. We're working with a very young, talented, brilliant singer, Sylvia Schwartz. I must say that the way their voices combine is, to my ears, sounding really beautiful. And I'm looking forward to the final result when we get all the little details correct.
Your work with Muriel Teodori was to write a musical play about voice and about music. Is it difficult for a composer to write music about music?
Well, I thought that a lot of my ignorance about music might not be good. And that I maybe so I did listen a lot to the things that I wasn't knowing about, but I'd also, when I was a student of music, I had encountered a lot of classical serious music, so I had something of that already inside me, even though I've gone off into the world of rock music and different type of music, and I think I just tried to keep in mind a respect for the people who were going to eventually interpret this. I think that I hope that I managed to do that, and sometimes that happened. I don't think it was because of anything I was knowing. I think it was more intuitive, just by, you know, listening to Carmen and listening to Norma and listening to Butterfly, and then really trying to think how their ghosts might be, you know. And also in those pieces, those brilliant pieces of music, there are such strong musical elements that, you know, it's when you take that in, it just comes into you and you can't resist it. It's sort of so, I mean, the music of Carmen, of Bizet, is just so, it just seems to be inside us, you know, already. I don't know how.
Yes.
I would say that. And certain parts of Norma as well. When you hear it, even though you might not have known it, you have the feeling that you do know it, even though it might be the first time you heard it. It's sort of inside you anyway. I don't know how it got there, but it is there.
Yes, and this is the magic of your music. You wrote a lot of very moving vocal tunes, very lyrical phrases. It's one of the major qualities of your composing. So, you told us previously the two kinds of singers doing the show, operatic ones and rock star. Does it matter for the composing? For example, I noticed a very high range for Mr. Sting's part.
Yes, I must be clear that when we first started working on this, we had no idea, absolutely no idea, that Elvis and Sting and Robert Wyatt, who recorded the piece, and Robert always said he would never perform it on stage, so we're working with Joe Sumner, who's an excellent rock singer from the band Fiction Plane. We had no idea that those people would be involved. Absolutely no idea. So we didn't write specifically for those people, but at a certain point we knew they would be involved, and at that point the piece was still not complete. And so I must say that when you don't know who's going to do something, it's very different from when you do know. It definitely puts a feeling inside you, you know. You can't resist it. Plus, Muriel is a brilliant singer. She can sing every character of this opera from memory. And she's also able, I don't know how, when you tell her, if you say to her a singer, she can do the voice of a singer. So every singer, you know, from Lou Reed to, I don't know, to Elvis and Sting, she's able to do that. That's one of her qualities. Amazing. So it's just important to say that when we wrote it, we didn't know those singers would be with us, you know. Sting is a fearless singer. I love how he's interpreted the part. And when we started to work with him, he constantly wanted to put the key up. And so the original keys of his parts were not as high as they are now. But, you know, that's where the voice that he's got feels good. So, you know, we wanted him to... I want the male singers to be as free as they can be. And so it was important to get that right.
Did you have to change some bars for your
Some
artist?
Bars I changed. And also these people, they're great musicians, and they have suggested things to me, and I'm very, very thankful for their suggestions. And whenever it's a good suggestion, I've absolutely been happy to take it.
Thank you.
The first time we did a version of Welcome to the Voice was at the Town Hall, and Elvis sang the main role very well, very beautifully. And it was with a string quartet, the Brodsky Quartet. It was closer to the album recording. Ron Sexsmith played the part of the friend, and the singer from They Might Be Giants was the chief of police. For the Châtelet, I've changed the orchestration so it's for a string orchestra with percussions. And instead of before there was just the wonderful Ned Rothenberg on wind instruments, a little bit of guitar from Mark Rebo. Now we've got four solo musicians, myself. Vincent Segal, who is an incredible cellist. I've worked with him before on my album Moo Moo, he played on that. So he's playing electric cello and acoustic cello. And I have Ibrahim Malouf on trumpet, who's a wonderful trumpetist. And then there's Ned as well from the original casting. my hopes that we could improvise certain elements of the piece, which I think we can. But it's true that the music itself is quite complex, and so this is a difficult thing to do. And for a lot of it, they are restricted in a certain way because the music isn't open enough. But they're finding their way through it, and it's at the moment we've still 2 weeks to go. It's early days, but I think they're such wonderful musicians that they're going to find their way to do that. And also in this piece, in this version of For the Châtelet, they each have a moment, which is their moment. So that's another difference between this and the previous version. One of the things that we didn't mention yet, but in this version we have the choir of the Châtelet Chœur, who are great. I really love their... when you see this whole thing coming together, it's a bit like the cinema of the past, and there's so many people working on it, and everyone, it's just amazing for me as a composer to see all these people working like that on my piece. The choir are fantastic, and we've asked them, because there's a secret character inside the opera, which is the wind, and so the character of the wind sometimes is played by the choir, and they have to make us aware of this element of nature.
Muriel Teodori uses French language mixed with English in the play. Did the French language influence your composing? Isn't it too difficult to compose with the French words because it doesn't sound as rich as in English because of the flatness of French language?
Well, it's funny you should say that. I would say that I'm not... I found a lot of richness in the French language. It's a beautiful language. I'm not able to speak it, so that's terrible. But I would love. But I love to write for the French language. I love French music. I love French songs. I love the way the French write lyrics, and I love the lyrics that Muriel gave me to write music to. Very inspiring.
The first Dionysus yes. French
yes.
Aria, because it's yes. an aria, is just fantastic.
Yes. And I adore the way he's singing the French part. It's so difficult for English people to pronounce certain vowels of the French language. That's just completely not what our bodies are made to do. I don't know why. But I suppose there's English vowels that the French would find difficult. And but, yes, to make the effort to do that it's amazing. And I thank him for doing that. Because, you know, writing with Muriel, who is a French woman, it's incredible that she wrote the thing in English. She just wrote it in English. But some parts were straight away in French. And she's done... she's made a translation of the work in French so that when the audience are watching it, they will see the translation that she did. Muriel was explaining to me a lot of the time that in the French language, the way the music is placed on the French language is not the same as the English, where we're constantly worried about the stress of the word. So if you have a word like scaffold, you want ska to be on the first beat of the bar, whereas in French, what is it, effudage?
Mm.
I think that's the right word. You wouldn't worry where the... it's not the same concern, and you can put the phrase where you want, which I thought that freedom was fantastic, and in fact it went over into the English a little bit sometimes, and so certain parts of the English text, I thought, well, if the French can be as free as that, why can't the English? You know, but this presented problems when I got to the English singers because they were saying, but how can I sing that? It doesn't make sense when it's on that beat of the bar. I said, well, I think it's fine, you know, I like it. But the amazing thing about the singers that I've worked with is they're so, and I'm talking about the male singers that have the freedom to do this in the piece, but they can take a phrase and bend it into the right... so even when I deliberately put the stress of the thing on the wrong beat, they managed to get it onto the right beat. So, fantastic.
What are your hopes with this play coming up in Paris?
Well, it's a great honour to be at the Châtelet, which is a very impressive institution and all of that. But as a composer, like I said, seeing all these people working so seriously on every minute detail of my piece, the piece that I wrote with Muriel, that's already an amazing experience, you know. But I can't, at the moment, I'm working as hard as I can, on this piece. I can't think what it's going to be like when we actually do it on stage, but obviously that's just a few days off now. So I do hope that after we've done it five times at the Châtelet, that will spur people on to want to do it more in other towns.
And maybe you will compose another musical play?
Yes, absolutely. There's no doubt about
You're
that.
You're in now.
Yes. But there's... I already work on something with Muriel, so we're already thinking about that.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yes.
Mr. Neve, my last question will be about you again. You're a very special composer because you're on the pit and you're playing cables during the play.
Yes, this is part of the other aspect of this is being, you know, taking on different roles inside this work, but and sometimes they conflict with each other a little bit. Because being the pianist and being the composer is... they don't conflict, but it's difficult. And it's I suppose it's a bit like a director who decides to act in his own film. I'm not sure if when we write the next one, if I will do that, but I think I would.
Because...
I love it. I love playing the piano, and I love accompanying people singing, so it's really what I like to do, so... I think it's just the there's a lot of I feel a lot of tension in this build up to Walt.
Because isn't it strange to be the composer and playing in the orchestra?
Yes.
On stage for the for the display and have a conductor which have his own interpretation of your music.
Yes, but I must say that I've got two really great people working as conductors. So there's the assistant conductor Stefan Petitjean and Wolfgang Dirner, both rather different temperaments, but extremely concentrated on what we're doing. And, it's part of the nature. It's like, you know, the classical singers going with the freer singers. This is part of the thing is, can we come inside this string orchestra? And I'm confident that we can learn how to do that. I mean, it's necessary to have someone doing that job of conducting, and they do it very well. What I have to do is learn how to follow them. But you know, I'm following them, but they are following mine. We're discussing this all the time, and we're both learning over these weeks.
Is it the play is not yours? Like just an artist.
It can be, but as soon as that happens, we talk and we try to learn why it's like that, and then we try to for it not to be like that. But when you're trying to sync different elements together, I think they're calling me. So,
Mr. Neve, thank you for your time.
Yes.
And now I can go to rehearse.
I have to go back to the rehearsal.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay. Thank you.